JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Very good morning, Mike.
So the inflation read is coming in the States, and we're on the edge of our seats to see what old Jerome does and when he does it and how he does it and whether we
and
need
all
to get
of that.
Into crypto and
You've actually been talking about inflation this morning. You've been talking about central banks, and I just want to carry that conversation on because there are a couple of data points this week that are relevant to this conversation. So you've got US CPI is one of them. And the thing is, Mike, central bankers do seem to be getting a little bit more relaxed at the moment, don't they? But we are still beholden to how the data falls over the next couple of months in determining whether or not the balance of risks have actually shifted, which is what they're saying. So you've got US CPI. This is due out tonight, our time, so the Consumer Price Index. Now, while the US Central Bank does prefer what's called PCE inflation or the Personal Consumption Expenditure Index, the actual CPI number still gets plenty of attention. Now, it's relevant because Chair Jerome Powell fronted up to the Senate committee late last week and suggested that the US Central Bank is close to getting to the point where it can adjust rates. So that statement now sort of puts the spotlight on all of these data releases. And not only that, but in the same week last week, you had ECB President Christine Lagarde talking about rate cuts as well. So they're all talking about rate cuts. But Powell did also say that the US Fed wants more evidence that inflation is moving sustainably to 2%. So here we go. CPI represents part of that evidence. 0.4% expected at the headline. 0.3% is the ex-food and energy. Their annual number is sitting around 3.1, although the core 3.7. The point is, this is relevant to us, Mike, because if offshore interest rates fall in response to everybody thinking that the rate cuts are coming and that inflation is under control, that affects our long rates as well. So there is a correlation there.
Okay, good stuff. We'll stand by for that. Now, housing here, what have we got this morning?
Housing here, well, we've got the Real Estate Institute of New Zealand numbers coming out, and that's the other market that we're talking quite a lot about at the moment. And this week we do get that latest update from them. Now, we know a few things, Mike, at the moment. We know that there's a lot more listings, so there's been a big move up in supply. We also know from the supply point of view, but looking out a little bit further, that the number of building consents being issued is basically cratering, and there was a 28% fall in that last month. And you do, there's quite a few push and pull factors on this market at the moment. You've got the tailwind of tax changes for the sector. January sales numbers, though, they were anemic, to say the least. They were horrible, and that's not just because it was January. That's on a seasonally adjusted measures as well. But, as no doubt you have also talked about, prices are resilient. Mm-hmm. And you have to wonder or speculate whether the surge in supply will have a dampening effect on pricing. Now, my view, Mike, has been pretty consistent on this, in that the cost of building houses at the moment is so high that existing homes look more attractive than new builds. And I believe that that will be supportive of price in the secondary market. Now, you've had some numbers around auction clearance rates this week. They're not that buoyant. But you've also, yet another factor on this, you've got the surge in migration, right, which presumably brings other purchases into the mix. And we do get an update on migration as well this week. So it's exciting, Mike. There's always lots of data.
It's all on. These are complex and interesting times. What are the numbers?
Okay, in the complex and interesting times, the Dow Jones is lower, 38,692, but it's only down small, about 0.1%. The S&P 500 down 0.2%, 5114 at the moment. The Nasdaq down 0.38%, down 60 points, still above 16,025. The FTSE 100 gained 9 points overnight, 7668 was the close there. The Nikkei got a bit smacked. It was down over 2%, 38820. Shanghai Composite up 0.75%, 3068. The Aussies had a pretty rocky start to the week yesterday. The ASX 200 lost 1.8%, 142 points, 7704. But the NZX 50, 7381 was closed there, up 8 points. Now, Kiwi dollar, 0.6171 against the US, 0.9334 Aussie, 0.5647 against the euro, 0.4817 against the pound. Japanese yen, 90.62. Gold is trading at $2,181. And Brent crude, $82.36. And I think I might have just given you a totally wrong number for the NZX 50, Mike. So I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll try and get the right number for you for the NZX 50 close. It closed at 11,873. It was down 50 points.
Goodness for that. I shifted $1 million worth of gold on that number, so I'm glad you got there.
I thought you might. Well, I don't like, you know, I don't like to give these erroneous data, Mike, so we got that right in the end.
You're trustworthy of nothing else, along with being good-looking and a nice guy. Andrew Kelleher, jmiwealth.co.nz.